And now, the host of Minds Over Matter, a man who knows everything. Well, at least that's what he told me in the kitchen just a few minutes ago. Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much. If I knew everything, I really probably wouldn't be here. So I'd be doing something else. And, yeah. Anyway, welcome to Minds Over Matter. Hope you had a lovely Thanksgiving and got enough turkey and gravy and everything else you wanted. And I hope you're having a nice Hanukkah as well. This is the fifth night, correct?
It is.
Okay. All right. What do people give each other on the fifth night?
Underwear? Of course.
Socks?
Yes.
Yeah. All right.
The necessities.
Okay. All right. All the creative gifts are out of the way by this time.
First and last night, you get something good. Everything else, you just fill in.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Toothpaste,
boy.
Floss, the
okay.
Usuals.
All right. How utilitarian of you people.
Thank you.
Anyway, welcome to Minds Over Matter. This is an audience participation quiz program, so we hope you will call and participate. Our lines are open right now. It's a great time to call in. If you have a question or answer for us on current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, and everything else, just dial that number, 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. We want to give Jerry enough time to write his questions because he's looking in a book now. Oh, you wrote them already?
I have mine written at 3 o'clock this afternoon.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Yes,
congratulations.
Just
again,
doing backup.
I'm always ahead of time.
The number is 415-841-4134. If you'd like to send us an email, we welcome all communication with our listeners. And that email address is mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. That's mindsovermatter, one word, @yahoo.com. If you'd like to hear our show online, you can do that anywhere in the world as we know it, simply by going to kalw.org. That's kalw.org. And if you'd like a podcast of this show, with reasonable expectations, it should be available afterwards at kalw.org. Along with some of our older shows, if you are feeling nostalgic about us. Anyway, so once more, the number here is 415-841-4134. I feel like a call from Union City is coming in very soon, so we're going to start with a round of introductions and a round of questions. And here's the first. Jerry Nachman would like to ban all talking on planes.
Thank you.
Really?
not for
the first, except from the pilot. For the first time in his life, Laurie Fisher was able to celebrate Hanukkah and Thanksgiving on the same night. The turkey latkes were particularly delicious, and he doesn't mind at all waiting another 78,000 years for this event to recur.
Indeed. And there was so much hair on the studio mic tonight that our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, thought it was a Senior Winsis hand puppet.
So that's us.
It's a very mind over matter reference.
That's a very, very obscure cultural reference.
Raise your hand if you know Senior Winsis.
And we'll begin with Jerry Nachman.
Okay. What would I be eating if I were enjoying these variety of flavors? Pomegranate, cream cheese icing, gingerbread, pickle, anise, and gravy. And it's not Jelly Bellies.
So these are all flavors of one thing. Same again?
Once more, dear.
Pomegranate, cream cheese icing, gingerbread, pickle, anise, and gravy.
I think there's at least a few of those. There's ice cream. I think I have seen a gravy ice cream.
It's not ice cream.
No?
It might be, but this is not. This is a relatively new phenomenon.
Oh. So they're not bagels. That's I hope.
Frozen yogurt?
No, could be. Bagels are getting out of hand at Noah's.
Yeah.
Okay, what?
Frozen yogurt?
No.
These are tapiocas?
No.
Okay. Are they some kind of pudding?
No.
All right. Are they in the dessert world?
Not exactly.
But they are things to eat. These aren't rides at Disneyland or anything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is something you eat.
Lori, why don't you go ahead?
All right. I with the theme of Thanksgiving here, I got a couple of questions. One is about the Macy's Day Parade, which I'm sure all of you were tuned into. I have, what year did it start? Who was the first balloon character that they had as a helium balloon? I'll give you a year. In 1980, they started doing Broadway performances. What was the first Broadway show that was featured in the Macy's Parade from 1980? And the last one is, there's one performer or group that has performed every year since 1957. Who is that group or single performer? So what year did it start? What was the first balloon thing that they had in Helium? First Broadway show, which was 1980, and what group or performer has performed every year since 1957?
I think the first balloon was Felix the Cat.
It was. Very good.
Yeah.
You know the year? Because that'll be a hint to when it started.
I want to... 1927, 28?
27.
Okay.
Very good.
All right.
Okay, so we're looking for a year, and it's obviously before that.
What was the last thing?
The last one was there was a performer or a group that has performed every year since 1957 in the parade.
Rockettes.
That's the Rockettes. Very good.
Oh, I was going to say Jim Nabors.
Well, maybe.
that's the Indianapolis.
Yeah, give Jerry a bell for that one. So the year it started and the first Broadway play, which was done in 1980. It was a play on Broadway then. Now they do a lot of every year.
But it's a musical. They weren't doing Death of a Salesman. It's a musical, I'm assuming.
What's the tie-in to the parade?
Just that they have scenes from plays now, from musicals during the parade. They stop it.
Oh, they're musicals.
Yeah,
they're not
this play, is a musical.
Not doing Death of a Salesman.
No, that would have been good.
47th Street.
Yeah. They did
in 1980, what were they doing?
It wasn't Waiting for Godot, which would have been nice, but not
Chorus Line.
No, great guess.
That's a good guess.
Yeah,
that's about right.
Well, that would have duplicated the Rockettes, so maybe not.
It was a long-running show, obviously.
Was it then playing on Broadway?
It was then playing on Broadway.
Grease.
I would call it a revival.
Grease.
It wasn't Grease. Another good guess. That's, you know, it might have been around for its second time then.
You'd call it a revival.
Yeah.
Something with a New York flavor to it, you know?
No, I would say it has a British flavor to it.
Oh.
Of all things. That's the only hint I'll give you.
All right.
Oliver.
No. Great guess.
Yes. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Anyway, so the first Broadway play done on the Macy's Parade and the year the Macy's Parade started. Those are the two left.
Okay. Two questions. The United States was the last country to win the Nobel Prize for Peace 2 years in a row. Who were the recipients? The United States was the last country to win the Nobel Peace Prize 2 years in a row. Who were the recipients?
Is this relatively recent?
It's in the 1980s. I'll give you that.
Oh.
Once more, the United States was the last country to win the Nobel Peace Prize 2 years in a row.
So was Carter one of them? Did he win it?
No, there's one individual and one organization.
Oh, okay, but it was a United States organization.
Yes, based in the United States.
Is it Greenpeace?
No. Once more, the U.S. was the last country to win the Nobel Prize for Peace 2 years in a row. Who were the recipients? It was in the 1980s. All right, second
question.
Also about the Nobel. What longtime popular writer was the most heavily criticized choice for the Nobel Prize for Literature? And when asked by reporters if he deserved it, he said, frankly, no.
Okay, so it's based on the quote, right? I mean,
lots of
people have been criticized.
He was controversial for winning it or for just generally?
People didn't think he was a worthy choice. Let's put it that way. He was very heavily criticized.
For the Nobel.
For the Nobel Prize for Lit.
American.
I didn't say that.
Is he American?
I'm not even going to say that. So what longtime popular writer was the most heavily criticized choice ever for the Nobel Prize for Literature? And when asked by reporters on the day that it was announced that he had won, if he deserved it, he said, frankly, no.
Okay. So we know it's a man.
It's a man, yeah.
Harold Pinter?
No. I don't think Harold Pinter would ever say that he didn't deserve it.
He might. He was pretty...
Was he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you want to give us an era? Approximate?
20th century.
Okay.
I'd say it's the second half of the 20th century.
Okay.
All right. And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
You're in the city?
Hello.
was the first year the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade held. Was it 1926?
Very close, but not quite. A little earlier.
A little later.
It's earlier. The first parade was earlier.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought you said 27.
That was Felix the Cat.
Oh,
but it was before the parade started before that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Got a couple questions.
Uh-huh.
There's my first one. What's two TV themes from the 60s quote the chopsticks?
Say it again?
What's two TV themes from two 60s shows quote the chopsticks?
Quote chopsticks.
The themes quote chopsticks. Otherwise, they take part of chopsticks.
A little bit of it.
A little bit of it.
Yeah, a little bit of it.
What's an animated series?
Oh, chopsticks.
Yeah, I can play chopsticks.
It's not the... These are primetime shows or just CBS
series?
Yeah,
one was a primetime... the animated series was a primetime series, but it was later seen in, on Saturday mornings in reruns.
There are only a couple of primetime animated shows. The Flintstones and the Jetsons.
It was produced by Hanna-Barbera.
Flintstones and the Jetsons.
Yeah, give yourself a bell. What's the Jetsons?
The Jetsons?
Nice.
Okay.
And the other one's a more conventional series?
The other one was a sitcom, and aired on the same network as the Jetsons.
What is that? Is that ABC?
Yes. Well, it was on ABC for its first five seasons, and it switched to another network.
Oh, God. No.
Is this in the 50s?
No, 60s.
No, 60s.
It's a sitcom. It was on for more than 5 years then.
How about
Bachelor? It was on for 12 seasons.
Bachelor Father.
12 seasons?
Nope.
Too long.
A sitcom for 12 seasons.
That's a long run.
Who would this be? This should be something very
All
gettable.
In the Family?
Nope.
Because they had that piano intro, but 60s. You know, I made it.
Was on for...
Come up.
12 seasons.
Make Room for Daddy?
Nope.
That's good.
No. Yeah, I give up.
My Three Sons.
Oh.
Oh, of course. Oh, very good. Very good. Yeah, of course.
My second question.
Mm-hmm.
What was this series that was syndicated under two different titles?
Are you saying this is the only series?
Yeah, it was the only Western series that actually had two different titles.
It's a Western.
Yeah.
Okay. It was on a network and then it was syndicated, or it was...
No, it was a network. When the reruns were syndicated, they had the... they had two stars, and one of them died, and one was replaced by another. And this one with the original star was syndicated under... with the episodes where the first star was seen under two different titles.
Oh, Death Valley Days.
No.
Ooh.
That was a syndicated series.
What they said was syndicated.
Was Bonanza ever syndicated as My Three Sons?
Well, Bonanza was the internet top of Fernando Rosa, but that was when it was on the network.
Oh. Okay. No.
It was Wagon Train.
Wagon Train. Ward Bond died.
It was seen under the title. The Ward Bond episodes were seen under the title Major Adam Squirrel Master and Wagon's Ho.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Gareth.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We have a couple of lines open right now. If you'd like to give us a call with a question or answer, the number is area code 415-841-4134. Again, this is Minds Over Matter at 415-841-4134. Jerry, it's your turn.
Well, this is a Beatles commemorative year. For some reason, I'm not quite sure of, but I'm sure you know. What are they commemorating? Is it?
Well, let's see. 63 was...
63, not 63.
Your first album?
Yeah,
first album
maybe that's it. Anyway, I've got three or four trivia questions for real Beatleheads.
Uh-oh.
What are the Strawberry Fields referred to in Strawberry Fields Forever? That's the first one. What was the first Beatles hit? What was John Lennon's favorite Motown song? And finally, what was the first record John Lennon ever bought? This is according to a big 900-page compendium that I think you were talking about earlier, Laura.
Okay.
Okay, what is Strawberry Fields referred to in the song? What was the first Beatles hit? What was John Lennon's favorite Motown song? And what was John Lennon's first record he ever bought?
Do you know, are you saying it was a hit here or hit in England, or do you not know?
That's a good question. I would guess in England because they weren't known when they first began.
I think it was
I'm not sure. I can't.
Was it Please
that.
Please Me?
No.
Okay, because here it was, I Want to Hold Your Hand and She Loves You. So that was...
Yeah, no, so they were, it was okay, British, so, yeah. Okay. Sounds like a British title.
I never thought I'd hear you ask so many Beatles questions.
Well, you underestimate me, my lad.
Sergio Franchi, maybe, but not Beatles.
No, more Beatles than Sergio.
All right.
And you have no answers.
I really don't, because I'm not a Beatles. Yeah. I enjoy the Beatles very much, but I'm not
okay,
an expert.
Okay.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi.
Hi, you're on.
I think that the self-effacing Nobelite was Sinclair Lewis.
It was not Sinclair Lewis.
Good guess.
Oh,
I thought
well,
that, too.
I thought wrong.
Good guess. Yeah, yeah, very
thank
good.
Thank you very much.
Sure. Bye.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi there. It's Brian from San Francisco.
Hi, Brian.
Hi there. I wanted to try one answer, John Lennon's favorite Motown song.
Yeah.
Was it Too Many Fish in the Sea by the Marvelettes?
No.
great song.
No.
It is a great song.
Yeah.
Here's my question for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
John F. Kennedy was related by marriage to Fred Astaire. Can you guys describe the connection?
To Fred Astaire?
That's interesting. Oh, yes. Because...
Go ahead.
Fred's sister Adele married Lord Cavendish.
Yes.
Yes.
Who was related to
Lee Radziwill's father.
No, Rosemary. Was it? No, wait a minute. I'm going to make sure I get the sister. Kathleen.
Yes.
Kathleen,
yes.
Who married...
Fabulous Kathleen.
The Fabulous Kathleen. Kick, they called her, who married the British nobility who was related to the Cavendishes.
That's right. She married William Cavendish.
William Cavendish.
Very good.
Bill. Son of the Duke of Devonshire, and his brother, the Duke's brother... was married to Adele Astaire.
Right.
Did Fred ever get to the White House?
Oh, yeah.
Probably.
I'm sure he got to the White House.
Yeah. You mean Westminster Abbey.
Right. Interesting question. Thank
Great
you.
Great question.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.
How about P.S. I Love You for the first Beatles hit in England?
No.
Okay.
And, Laurie, it's your turn.
All right. Last time I was here, I had this list that... they had assembled of the most famous book that's set in every state in the union, and people like that. So I'm going to ask you.
Oh, that was a good question.
That was a good question.
You're
yeah.
Five more states, and you're to tell me the most famous book set in that state.
Now, the most famous book or the best-selling book?
Well,
or
the way they have
that?
It is the most
explain
famous.
Explain the.
Yeah, well, that's
there
the premise.
There are
the most
five
famous.
Left.
Well, no, there are plenty of states
there's
left.
There's 20 states
five.
Left.
Okay.
But these are all well-known. I picked them because the books are well-known.
Yeah. Give an example of one you asked before, and you give people just a...
What I asked before was Indiana, it was the Magnificent Ambersons, and Illinois was the jungle. So, and the setting, I would say, in all of them matters. I would make
and
the case.
And it's primarily set in these states?
Yes.
Okay.
First one's Iowa. Second one, I'm going to give five more. Oregon.
Wait a minute.
Okay. Iowa is the first one. Oregon's the second. Third one is Missouri. Number four is Kentucky. And number five is Kansas. So Iowa, so I'm looking for the most famous book set in every state. In each case, they're all works of fiction. Iowa, Oregon, Missouri, Kentucky, and Kansas.
Well, this may not be the Oregon one, but is it sometimes a great notion?
No, it's not.
That's Oregon.
Good guess. Yeah.
Okay. Is there anything particularly modern on this list?
Yes. I would say the Oregon one is particularly modern, and I would say the Iowa one is particularly modern.
So One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest?
That's it.
Okay.
Very good.
All right.
For Oregon.
For Oregon,
yeah. Ken Kesey was from there. So Iowa, Missouri, Kentucky, and Kansas.
Iowa, Missouri, Kentucky, Kansas.
Is Kentucky... Uncle Tom's Cabin?
It is.
Yeah.
Very good.
Oh, very good.
Very good.
I forgot about it.
Yeah,
it was in Kentucky.
That's good. I'm glad you got that. So we're looking for Iowa, Missouri, and Kansas.
Missouri.
Kansas.
Missouri. Are any of these set primarily in cities at all? Or is that hard to say?
It's not hard to say. I would say they're not.
Okay.
Yeah, the city wouldn't be... I mean, they're all... obviously in a place that would be a city.
Right.
But not
But for
not
instance,
like
Missouri
Louis.
Would not be primarily in St. Louis
it's
or
not.
Something like that.
Missouri.
Okay. Iowa is not Des Moines, right. I don't think.
Okay. That hotbed of dramatic
It's a lot
novels.
Going on in Iowa.
Iowa. State Fair. That was a novel.
Yeah, well, that's right. What, Edna Ferber? She writes State Fair?
No, who wrote State Fair? I forgot. Okay, but no.
In fact, my choice for Iowa, they don't pick, so I'm going to give credit if you get my choice.
If you said show would have been the Music Man.
Yes.
Set in Mason City.
Yeah.
Missouri. Oh.
Kansas. It's not the Wizard of Oz, I'm assuming.
It is the Wizard of Oz.
Is it really?
Yeah, it is. I would say sure, of course.
All right.
That's the most famous book set in
Kansas. So we're looking for Kansas and Iowa.
No, they leave Kansas and they come back. We're looking for Missouri and Iowa.
Missouri and Iowa.
Yeah, Kansas was the Wizard of Oz.
What was Iowa again?
We don't have it.
That's what you have to guess.
Don't try to trick me. I'm getting very confused.
So you said Iowa, Kansas, and...
Yeah, so what's left is Iowa and Missouri.
No.
Dana
and
just
Missouri.
Got Kansas. So he's got the Wizard of Oz.
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay.
If we get through these, I have 40 more.
Okay.
Now we go all month on
this. I'll be interested to know what Delaware is.
It's a great question.
I can give you Delaware because I've
never
never heard of. Well, we'll tell you
okay.
later.
All right.
So, yeah. Anyway, so we're looking for Iowa, the most famous book set in Iowa, and the most famous book set in Missouri.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Dan from Daly City.
Hi, Dan.
Now, I'm going to take a shot at the Beatle questions.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think you mentioned their first hit. I'm confused because their first release was Love Me Do.
That's the one I have there.
Oh, very good.
Okay,
oh.
That's okay.
It's a modest hit, it says said here. Modest hit.
Yeah, the subsequent Please Please Me was much more successful.
Yeah.
The first thing they released was Love Me Do, and I think it went to like number 17 or something.
Yeah, it was a kind of modest hit. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Do you have more?
Okay. Did you have
any others?
Go ahead.
What were the other Beatle questions?
What was John Lennon's favorite Motown song? And what was the first record John Lennon ever bought? And what do Strawberry Fields refer to in the song?
Oh, okay. Strawberry Fields was like this. It was actually called Strawberry Field, and it was like a Salvation Army facility of some kind.
That's right. Salvation Army Children's Home.
Oh, good.
Very good.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know the others. Thanks.
Okay.
Okay.
Did John Lennon buy a Johnny?
Thank you.
Did John Lennon buy Johnny Be Good? Was that his first song that he bought?
No, that's a very good guess. Yeah, very good guess.
Big influence on him. I know that.
All right. So, looking over the list of the best-selling books of all time, and there are about 100 on that list, if I recall. What are the two best-selling? These are fiction. I'm talking about. What are the two best-selling fiction books of all time whose titles are a single word?
So the two.
You have to get both of them.
No.
Oh,
yes.
No.
That's,
yes.
No.
That's not.
Too,
it's not
no,
it's as hard
really,
as you think.
No,
it's
the best selling in America or the world.
The world.
The world.
Actually.
Oh wow.
What are the two best selling books of all time whose titles are a single word?
I mean, if one of them.
1984.
Ooh,
that's not a single word.
It's not a word.
They spell it out in the
did
book.
You?
In the book title, it's spelled out. Yeah, 1984.
Okay. All right. No, okay.
Yeah. American? Any of them?
He said he's not telling us.
Oh, he did. He said he's not telling us.
I don't recall.
He didn't say that.
I do not recall at this time.
These are the only two?
These are the top two, and there aren't too many.
Oh, there are others, though.
There may be one or two, but not too many.
Top two in terms of selling, right?
Now, remember, this is fiction, okay?
Yeah.
The two best-selling books of all time, two best-selling fiction books of all time whose titles are a single word.
The 20th century? Will you tell us that?
Yes, that I will tell you. It is the 20th century.
Both of them are.
Yes.
See, I only have one to guess. I think you should let us guess one and give us the one.
Later on, I will do that.
All right.
Okay?
All right.
All right. So once more, the two best-selling fiction books of all time whose titles are a single word, what are they?
If we guess two and we get one right, will you tell us we got one right?
No.
Oh, gee.
Yeah, I'll tell you.
Okay, I'm going to guess Hawaii and Giant.
Neither one.
All right. See?
Not worldwide, though, I wouldn't think.
Well, it's hard to know. Yeah. Hawaii was a huge seller. Giant was my desperation choice.
No.
But
those are
one.
Pretty
okay.
much American theme books.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm thinking they're both American.
But he said it's worldwide.
I know.
It's
probably.
Yeah. A lot of these books, they're written in English, are published worldwide. And
I know.
And
I assume Bible is not one of them.
The Bible is not one of them. We go through this every single time.
It's two words.
It's two words.
Plus it's the.
And some people, whether it's fiction or not, would be. We could talk about that.
Yeah.
Don't call in on that.
Don't call in, please. And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. Again, it is Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. The number to join us with a question or answer is 415-841-4134. Our panel tonight is author Jerry Nachman from Diablo Valley College, teacher Lori Fisher. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That's KALW, your local public radio station. Yes, Jerry, you want to say something? What?
Dracula.
No, not Dracula. That's a decent guess.
Good guess.
That's a pretty good guess. But no.
Okay.
It leads us to think of Frankenstein.
No.
All right.
Okay. Jaws.
Yes.
Ah.
All right, I'll give that to you.
I was going to say Jaws, and it, that's, not while I was singing.
No, there is. Okay, so that's a very popular book.
Yeah,
okay,
that's a very,
good.
Yeah,
okay.
All right. Jaws is one. Jaws
you hated
one.
To give me that, I know.
Yeah, that's okay.
Well, he let up. He let us have just one. So
yeah.
That's good. Okay.
Yeah,
okay, somebody will call in with the other one.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Man, I was just about to say Jaws 2, but you kept dawdling.
Jaws 2.
How are you all doing?
Hey.
Good.
Hey. Another book. Lori, how about the Bridges of Madison County for Iowa?
Good guess.
That's
not
a good
it.
Guess.
Yeah, good
not,
guess.
Not it.
That's
huh?
not it.
Well,
yeah.
Anyway, and
it should be.
Is that in Iowa for sure? The Bridges of Madison County? Yeah, that's not it, though.
No,
yeah.
I'm sorry. You said Tom Sawyer from Missouri?
Yeah.
Oh, that's correct. Tom Sawyer is correct.
There
the Bridges of Tom Sawyer. Way to go.
Thank you.
Okay.
And with all the other, most of the Beatle questions out of the way, I'm thinking, like, the first record that John Lennon ever bought, I'm thinking, like, Maddie says Rock Around the Clock. I say Hound Dog, but I think it's neither.
No.
All right.
Both in his collection, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Not an Elvis song. It's not an Elvis song.
And certainly he did cover a lot of things. Okay, we're done.
All right, thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Is John Lennon's first record, was it a rock and roll song rather than like Tubby the Tuba or, you know, something like that?
Yes. Yes.
Rock and roll song. All right.
I'm looking for his favorite Motown song and also his first.
Yeah.
Well,
first, was it an Everly Brothers song, perchance?
I don't think so.
Okay.
No.
All right.
Did it say how old he was when he bought it?
No.
Because Motown.
Probably pretty young, I would guess.
Yeah.
Teenager, probably.
Like a single, like a 45.
Yeah,
probably.
I'm thinking
maybe
a 40,
even 78.
Well, all the ones that have been guessed, you know, Johnny B. Goode and...
Could be a 78.
Ooh.
It's possible.
Yeah, it could be.
What?
78. Maybe he was born around 1940 or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
And the Motown would be contemporary with him. I mean, Motown...
Yeah.
Yeah, so this was this didn't necessarily predate the Beatles, right? The Motown song?
I don't know the age.
It's maybe very early.
How about My Girl?
No.
All right.
No.
Or... Yeah,
probably right around the same time. Yeah.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Judy from Menlo Park.
Hi, Judy.
Hey, Judy.
The Nobel Prize winner who felt unworthy was John Steinbeck.
That's true.
Really?
That's absolutely right. Yes.
Yeah.
Great.
Very good.
Excellent.
He was a compromised choice in a weak year, supposedly.
Is that right?
That's what their explanation was. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Good job. Thank you, Judy.
More? Oops, she's gone.
Is that it? Okay. Yes, John Steinbeck. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Ed. How are you?
Good.
Very good. So I have two very simple questions and something about Hanukkah as well. What is the highest world capital city in the world?
No, wait a minute now. Are you counting Tibet?
No.
All right.
No.
So, Quito, Ecuador, or Quito, Ecuador, or was it La Paz, Bolivia?
La Paz is the answer.
All right.
Very good.
La Paz is almost 12,000. Quito is only 9,000.
Okay.
Okay. The same question, but for the United States.
The highest capital
city? Denver?
In the United States.
Yeah.
Right.
Not Denver?
No.
Santa Fe?
Definitely not. Hmm?
Santa Fe, New Mexico.
That the video is? Yeah, how high is it, you think? That's only a nice question.
A cousin just moved here.
How would you answer? It's hard to guess. 7,000 feet.
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
7,000.
7,000? Okay, yeah.
Yeah, 7,000 feet. Okay. The other question is, this thing comes in different flavors. One is up, one is down, one is top, one is bottom, one is beautiful, and one is strange.
These are flavors? These are flavors?
Yeah, these are flavors of this this item. Okay, up and down, top and bottom, beautiful or strange. I'll give you a hint. It's physics.
It's what?
Flavors of physics.
Oh, well.
It's a physics question.
They're flavors of particles.
Well, you sure got the right guys here.
Yeah.
And you know something? All of us, everything we see, including us, are made from up and down. Everything. I am made up and down. You are made from up and down. Everything in the universe we see and touch is made from up and down.
Yes, you can get a joke from that.
You can get it now, right?
No. Matter.
It is quarks.
They're matter.
Yes.
It is quarks. Quarks.
Quarks.
Quarks.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. All of us made up fermion, which is, proton, neutrons. Both of them are made from up and down. Now, if you have a strange, and strange particles do exist, if you touch a strange particle, if the Earth gets one just piece of strange particle, the whole Earth will vanish in hours or days. Okay, now the question about Hanukkah.
Oh.
What year was the end of Hanukkah where the priests had to light the candle for 8 days and they were short of oil, but the miracle happened where the oil lasted for the 8 days? The question is, what year was it when the Syrian and the Greek army surrounded this little temple of the good Jewish people? What year was it? And also, what was the name of the high priest of the temple? Let's leave that to the audience. I want somebody really to go in detail with that.
Okay.
All right.
Great show.
It's good work for the audience, bye-bye. Especially since I don't know.
Very up and down. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Peter in Glen Park.
Hi, Peter.
For one-word book titles, how about Shogun?
No.
Ah, okay. And I have a question.
Yes.
We know that the sun never set on the British Empire at one time.
Mm-hmm.
In the Eurasian continent, give me the names of the modern names of the seven countries in which the forces of their Britannic Majesties never waged war.
You know,
say it again.
The names of the seven countries on the Eurasian continent in which British forces never fought.
Oh, in those countries.
Yes, in those countries.
I see. So there was never any British troops in those countries.
Fighting, yes.
I see. So Thailand?
No.
Oh.
Eurasia.
So the British troops had to actually be in that country.
Yes.
So I couldn't say Japan, for instance.
No.
Then let's think about this. Mongolia?
Yes.
Okay.
Tibet?
No. Not a separate country.
True.
And there were British troops involved in the Vietnam War.
Yeah.
Called
Cambodia.
I couldn't say Cambodia or Laos or.
I don't think so. Or China.
Or certainly not China.
Yeah.
Oh,
Indonesia?
No.
It has to be on the continent, right?
Oh. Eurasian continent,
yeah,
yes.
Continent, yeah.
Europe and Asia.
Okay, let's think about this for a second here.
Time's running out.
Not for Dana.
For me.
Is there anything that's reasonably close to Europe?
Yes, in Europe.
How about Switzerland?
In Europe. Oh, no. That's true. Cause
Switzerland? No.
No.
Oh, there are British troops in Switzerland.
Sweden?
No.
Vatican City?
Yes.
Oh, there we go.
Very good.
San Marino.
Good.
Is San Marino in there?
No, I believe San Marino actually had some British troops in it during the Second World War.
All right. Iceland. No, that's not on the continent. Sorry.
Oh, you better fill us in on the rest.
Liechtenstein.
Oops.
No.
Luxembourg. Andorra.
Mm-hmm.
Tajikistan and Uzbekistan.
There you go. All right.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. Bye-bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7. I hope you're enjoying the show. We're a little past halfway through, so let's repeat any questions that haven't been answered yet. Jerry, what do you have?
What would I be eating if I were enjoying these variety of flavors? Pomegranate, cream cheese icing, gingerbread, pickle, anise, and gravy. Beatles trivia. What are the we got that one. What was John Lennon's favorite Motown song, and what was the first record John Lennon ever bought?
Ain't no mountain high enough. How's that?
No.
All right.
Not good enough.
I have... Those are your questions?
Yeah.
Okay. I have the year the Macy's Day Parade started, and we know it's before 1926, and I'm looking for the very first time a Broadway number was performed from a show on Broadway at the time was performed during the parade, and I'm looking for the most famous book that's set in the state of Iowa.
Let's see. The U.S., United States was the last country to win the Nobel Peace Prize 2 years in a row. Who were the recipients? They were both in the 1980s, and one was an organization, the other was an individual. The two best-selling fiction books of all time, whose titles are a single word, somebody got Jaws.
So somebody is me.
Somebody is you. Jerry got Jaws.
Well, the caller.
What is the other title?
Is it pre or post Jaws?
It is pre Jaws.
Our audience member says it's Exodus.
No.
Okay.
It might surprise you. Okay. It's a very good book, and it might surprise you.
Oh, it is good.
It's very good.
Okay.
Yes. It's you could probably call it a masterpiece in a way.
Cinderella.
No. And, Lori, I think it's your turn.
Oh, okay. Let's do this. I'm back to my thank you questions. I have three quotations, and they all are about gratitude and thanks. Okay. One's from a song. I want to know if you know this song. I'm going to give you part of the lyric. Yeah, city folk driving in a black limousine. A lot of sad people thinking that's a mighty keen. Son, let me tell you now exactly what I mean. The title of that song has the word thank in it.
Okay.
You want to know that? And the other two are from Shakespeare, so I think you'll both get them right away. I get to read a little Shakespeare. This one is, sweet moon, I thank thee for thy sunny beams. I thank thee, moon, for shining now so bright. For by thy gracious golden glittering gleams, I trust to take of truest sight. I left a word out because there's a name in there. I want to know the play and who said it. It's very well known. And the last one, same thing. It's about gratitude. Thou better knowest the offices of nature, bond of childhood, effects of courtesy, dues of gratitude. Thy half of the kingdom hast thou not forgot, wherein I thee endowed.
Is the first one Romeo and Juliet?
No.
Okay.
But there is one from that, but that's not it. Good guess.
Is it A Midsummer Night's Dream?
Yes, the first one is. Remember who said it?
Could you go over and read the quote once?
Yeah, more? Sweet moon, I thank thee for thy sunny beams. I thank thee, moon, for shining now so bright. For by thy gracious golden glittering gleams, I trust to take of truest sight. It is from Midsummer Night's Dream and said by...
It's not Oberon, is it?
No, it's not. Lysander? Nope.
All right, no.
So we'll leave that out there.
All right.
And then we're looking for the other two. Yeah, city folk driving in a black limousine. I could almost sing it. A lot of sad people thinking, that's a mighty keen. Son, let me tell you now exactly what I mean. The next line is the title and has the word thank in
it. It's the Beverly Hillbillies theme.
Very close. Very close. And the other Shakespeare ones out there, too.
Okay.
Very good.
Oh, and did I do all my questions here? Yes, I already did. So let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, it's Kevin Los Angeles.
Hey, Kevin.
My revival house is showing a movie this weekend. I've never seen it. I was kind of dubious based on the two stars, so I thought I'd try.
Hey, we didn't get the first the reference.
Yeah, you're cutting out.
You cut me out?
Yeah.
No, just the first part, so just start again.
Yeah, I was just saying that my revival house has a movie I've never seen from 1944.
Mm-hmm.
And I was dubious about going to see it because of the two stars. So I thought I'd make a question of it and then ask Dana for his review.
All right. You said it's 1944?
It's 1944. I'll give you a clue now.
All right. Yes.
Here's your clue. It's based on a novel by Somerset Maugham, and its screenplay was by Herman Mankiewicz.
Oh.
Dana, I'll give you a director if you have to.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, also, you remember your other clue is that I'm kind of dubious based on the two stars. the director is Robert C. Altman.
Oh, is it? Is George Sanders in it?
No.
Not of Human Bondage, huh?
No. It's not of Human Bondage. It's 1944, and Robert C. Altman.
We also have a couple other clues. They're showing it this weekend, so kind of the year it is.
Oh, is that a clue?
Okay.
Oh, yes. Okay. It's Deanna Durbin and Gene Kelly.
Yes.
It's Christmas Holiday.
Yeah.
Oh, not the Hanukkah story.
No, not the Hanukkah story. It's actually a pretty decent movie.
Yeah, okay. Well, the director's pretty good, so.
Yeah, it's a Universal, it's a film noir, which is Deanna Durbin, her only film noir that I know of.
And Gene Kelly, what about Gene?
She does sing a song. It's a good song, though.
And Gene Kelly is in the film?
Spring will be a little late this year.
Gene Kelly's in the
Gene Kelly noir? Plays a ne'er-do-well, and he's good. He's pretty good at it, too.
What's the name of it again?
It's called Christmas Holiday.
Who's playing it? What theater?
Oh, down here in Los Angeles. Actually,
sounds like it might be worth renting.
Yeah.
It's worthwhile seeing, definitely.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Right. Thanks, Dan.
All right, you're welcome. Take it easy. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. Hope you're enjoying the show. If you'd like to join us here with a question or answer, the number is 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134. Is it my turn? I think it's my turn. Okay.
No, I think it's
fine. Who was the only nominee for Best Supporting Actor to be nominated for playing a previous nominee for Best Supporting Actor?
Whoa.
Okay. Oh gosh!
And none of this is particularly long ago.
Okay, so say it again.
Who was the only nominee for Best Supporting Actor to be nominated for playing a previous nominee for Best Supporting Actor? Yeah. They're both extremely famous people.
Yeah.
Or rather, pretty famous people, anyway.
I'm trying to think who. Who's been in a movie about real stars, right? So it takes place in the past, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, who
is it? Orson Welles movie?
Blanchett played Katharine Hepburn, is that?
Yeah, but she was nominated for Best Supporting Actor.
Okay.
This nurse is actor, Best Supporting Actor.
Yeah.
So once more, who is the only nominee for Best Supporting Actor to be nominated for playing a previous nominee for Best Supporting Actor? And I will say the previous nominee he was playing was nominated for Best Supporting Actor in the 70s.
Oh.
So, okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Mike from Sacramento.
Hi, Mike.
My guess for novel with one name is Lolita.
You're absolutely right.
Very good.
Wow.
Very good.
My favorite book.
It's a great book. It's a fantastic book. And that's sold between it was in the realm of selling over 50 million.
Wow.
So yes.
Jaws and Lolita, they're a nice combination.
Yes.
it's a double feature.
But you'll be
Ash
happy
Revival
to know
House.
that Lolita actually sold more than Jaws. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right.
I love your show. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it. Glad you got that question.
I thought Hawaii would have been a bigger seller than Lolita.
Well, over a long period of time.
Those Michener books were just, man, they were on there. All right.
So Lolita and Jaws are the two best-selling books of all fiction books of all time that have one-word titles. Excuse me. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, is the Iowa novel 1,000 Acres?
It is.
Oh,
very good.
Very good.
Very good.
Thank you.
It's by Jane Smiley, and it's sort of a retelling of King Lear.
Right.
Yeah, I would have picked Shoeless Joe, with, you know, the one that Field of Dreams is based on, which I love.
Haven't read it.
But good way to go. Thank you.
Thanks.
So, do we have any states left?
No, we will next time. But
all right, but we're all done.
We got all five.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
And if you'd like to join us, we have a couple lines open at area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. Jerry, it's your turn.
What four-legged wild animal has had the greatest population increase in the United States since the mid-50s?
Since 81, four-legged?
800% more now than there were in the 50s.
Of this animal?
This animal, yes.
Well, it seems like it's dogs, but that's probably not it.
No, it's, it's a wild animal.
Oh, it's a wild animal. Well, yeah. the ones in my neighborhood.
Once more.
What four-legged wild animal has had the greatest population increase in the United States since the mid-50s?
Wild animal.
Wild animal.
Like a gopher, maybe?
Maybe, but no.
No?
Is it wilder than the gopher?
No.
It's not?
No.
Okay.
But, I mean, we could have been at the starting point of two or something.
Yeah, and now there's 16.
No. No, they're now 32 million of these.
Of these things.
Okay.
Of
these.
And it's not wild in the sense of a...
it won't kill you.
A mountain lion or something.
Well, in my son's house, he's having a squirrel problem, so I'm going to go with squirrels. He's gotten rid of four squirrels in his attic. Yeah, that's not it, huh?
They're two-legged, aren't they?
No, the squirrels have four legs.
I think we have 32 million squirrels in our property, so... Maybe it's raccoons, too.
But it's not the squirrel, it's not the gopher. No. All right. The mouse or the rat, something like that.
No.
The rats, yeah.
Bigger than a bread box.
Yeah.
Has this ever been domesticated, this animal, do you know?
Probably, yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
If we walked outside of this building here, would we be likely to see one if we kept our eyes open?
No.
Is it an urban dweller is what I'm asking.
It's been known to wander in urban settings, yes.
But mostly not. Mostly just...
Like a skunk?
Mostly. No, not a skunk.
All right. But they're in California.
Yeah.
And we have the right order of size, so it's not the moose or the elk or anything.
I don't know about the size.
Knights of Columbus.
It's bigger than a skunk. Let me say that.
But smaller than a moose?
Smaller than an elephant, yes.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi.
Hi.
There's the moose and the elk, but then there's also the deer, D-E-E-R.
The deer is it.
It is. Oh, jeez.
Deer.
I hardly think of them as a wild animal.
Well, they're not wild, but they're in the wild. Good.
They're always playing with the antelope.
Yeah.
There you go.
Thank you very much.
Very good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello. I think I have the name of the song you're looking for.
Oh, good.
I think that's Thank God I'm a Country Boy by John Denver.
It is. Very good. That's the city folk driving their limousine. A lot of sad people thinking that's a mighty king. Son, let me tell you exactly what I mean. Say it. Thank God I'm a Country Boy. Very good.
Okay.
Is that it? Thank you. And if you'd like to join us here, we have a couple of lines open at area code 415-841-4134 with a question or answer here on Minds Over Matter. 415-841-4134. Laurie, it's your turn.
All right. The Wall Street Journal, for reasons that are a little obscure, decided to figure out how much action takes place in sporting events. So they actually timed a season's worth of NFL football games.
Yeah.
So this would be from when the ball is snapped to the whistle is blown dead.
Didn't you ask this? Or somebody asked
You asked a question.
I think I might have asked.
Maybe we'll see if you remember the answer.
Okay.
So in a game, the broadcast about 3.5 hours, and the time of the game is an hour. How much action takes place within the 10% rule?
It's about 15 minutes.
Okay, that's not right.
No. But, okay.
The game is in motion.
Well, what the official way they said it is from between the time the ball is snapped and the play is whistled dead, and the clock still runs during that time if you know under certain circumstances. That's how. So this is the amount of action
right.
where they used a chess clock to do it.
I'll say 21 minutes.
Nope.
Okay.
Well, there's enough time. We'll leave it out there for people who watch the game today. Maybe they timed it.
And let's see here. I'll do a question. Shakespeare left most of his estate to his two daughters. What were their names?
Judith was one.
Yes, Judith is one.
I don't know the other. I didn't know he had two.
Yeah. Two that lived, anyway.
Yeah.
You have a son, too?
Son died.
Okay.
One was a baby.
Hamnet, right? That was the son.
Is it a common name like Judith?
It's a common name.
Eleanor.
Is that their daughter named Anne?
Anne was the wife.
I know that.
Yeah.
Okay. And Hamnet was his son. Judith and...
Susan.
Yes. I'll give it to
that
you.
That was it?
It's Susanna.
Oh.
All right. Good.
Very good. Very good.
Judy and Susie Shakespeare.
Susie Shakespeare. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Good kids.
It's Susie Shakespeare, the home baking kid.
Kind of rested on their dad's laurels for quite a few years.
What were the three states that were closed for shopping on Thanksgiving?
What three states?
Yeah.
You mean Utah? Every store in the state was closed?
You could not legally shop on Thanksgiving.
Utah.
No. Oh, I thought this would be a gimme.
No.
What? They've been talked about this on the news.
Yeah.
Yes, there are three states in the U.S. where you could not legally shop on Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Trying to think of who would be likely to do that. Utah's the go-to state for everything, right?
Yeah, well, it's just about effort.
They have a healthy appreciation of capitalism there, though.
Prohibitive laws, yes.
Yeah.
It can be a small state just to control.
Not necessarily.
No?
Right. What are the three U.S. states where you could not legally shop on Thanksgiving? You know, where they wouldn't have any doorbuster sales, you know, come in at 8 o'clock and the stores
would
be open.
Well, no grocery stores? No liquor stores?
I am not,
no
probably not
gasoline.
Liquor stores. I am not sure about grocery stores, but definitely no retail shopping.
And the state has prohibited it.
Yes. Yeah.
Maine
is one.
Very good. Boy, you're on tonight. All right.
So, good. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Thomas in Berkeley.
Hi, Thomas.
Did you get the thanks of Shakespeare?
No, one's still out there.
Is that King Lear?
It is. Thou better knowest the offices of nature, bond of childhood, effects of courtesy, dues of gratitude. Very good. King Lear, that's it.
And the supporting actor playing a supporting actor or something like that?
Supporting actor nominee playing a supporting actor nominee.
Is that Kenneth Branagh?
It is Kenneth Branagh playing...
Olivier.
Oh. Yes.
I have a question.
Very good.
Very nice.
My question is, how did Gary Cooper get his name? His name was Frank Cooper.
How did Frank become Gary? Is that the question?
Yeah.
How did he get his name?
Very funny.
Well, then, rather than me make a bad guess, tell us the story.
They were going to call him Carrie, but there already was one.
Yeah. Carrie Cooper.
Well, that's in the ballpark. But basically, you know, he was just beginning his career, and so was all of that Hollywood stuff. And so his agent that he got, he said, I've got too many Franks. How about Gary? Because that's where I'm from.
Oh, Gary, like Gary Indiana.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And is Indiana one of the states where the stores were closed?
No.
Just like a perfect tie-in.
No.
Nice segue, but no.
All right, thank you. Take care, Thomas.
Which were the two movies involved in the Kenneth Branagh question?
The My Week with Marilyn.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
He played Olivier.
Right. And then Marathon Man.
Oh, okay.
Olivier was nominated in 1976 for Marathon Man.
Okay. All right. So, very good.
All right.
Yeah.
There you go.
Fun.
And
two more states we need, right?
Right.
How about Vermont?
No.
I guess they sell the Ben & Jerry's.
Yeah. If you'd like to join us very quickly, the number is area code 415-841-4134. Again, this is Minds Over Matter at 415-841-4134. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi. I have a guess about the Shakespeare moon quote.
Yes.
Was it Bottom?
It was Bottom in Midsummer Night's Dream. That completes it. Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Terrific.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Paul from the Richmond.
Hi, Paul.
Hi. Jerry's question on all those flavors.
Yeah.
Are those the Jones soft drinks?
No, they are not. I don't know about those.
The
but
pickle
no.
soft drink. Ooh.
Is that a new...
Gravy?
It's a relatively new phenomenon.
Ah. Okay, I have a question.
Yes.
In Edgar Allan Poe's Pit and the Pendulum, what was in the pit?
Ooh. What was in the pit?
What was in the pit? Oh,
it was something left over from the Inquisition, wasn't it? It was sort of tied into that, if I recall. What was actually in the pit?
Snakes?
Were there...
I hate snakes.
Yeah.
Were there knives or anything at the bottom? Anything like that?
He sort of says things like the most horrible thing imaginable.
Huh.
Insurance salesman. Let's see. So, in other words, he doesn't actually tell you?
Yeah, that's the answer.
He leaves it to your imagination.
Yeah, that's the answer.
Okay.
Oh, I see. Oh, okay.
It's sort of like Room 101 in 1984.
Right.
It's the worst thing you can imagine.
Yeah, he leaves it to the reader to supply the reader's view of what the most horrible thing would be.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Okay, bye.
Sergio Franchi playing nonstop for Jerry.
That's two mentions for Sergio on the show today.
Just getting a theme.
Poor guy. What did he? What did he
do? The great Sergio Franchi. Yeah.
It just reminded me because of Ed Sullivan. That's something. I have a very quick question you want to throw in.
Yes. So, if you were lighting Hanukkah candles every night, how many total Hanukkah candles would you have to buy? You know how it goes. Yeah.
Well,
so if you want, and you just wanted the correct number, there's an exact number of Hanukkah candles.
So every night you have to light.
Well, there's a different number every night.
Right.
That's the math part.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay.
And you know how many nights there are
total? You could be literal and say eight, because that's all the candles you have.
Well, on the last night, you'd need nine, right?
Nine, yeah. Okay.
But that's the last night, so now you have to add backwards. Are all our math? Everyone's going to sleep, I see, on the math thing here. It's an easy math question, people. It's an issue.
62.
No,
all right.
Fewer.
Fewer, okay. Yeah.
Take a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Hello. Anybody there? Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Hello? Oh, sorry, next call. Oh, everybody's gone. Okay. All right.
Now they're back.
No more calls.
That's it? Oh, now they're back. Okay.
The board's back.
Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Hello? No?
No.
The board's acting it. Hi, you're on. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. The stores that are, or the state that forces the stores to close?
Yes.
I'm thinking of Massachusetts.
Massachusetts is one. You're right.
No kidding.
Great. Very good.
Well, it's Plymouth, and that's where the original house.
Yeah, it's the Blue Laws.
Oh, of course.
That's part of the Blue Laws.
I guess they take it to heart.
Yeah, that's right. They should.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you. Good. Appreciate it.
So there's one more state, right?
There is one more state. Let's clean up here. We're almost out of time. Go ahead, Jerry.
Okay, the Beatles, the trivia. What was John Lennon's favorite Motown song, Money, That's What I Want? And what was the first record John Lennon ever bought? Bebop-a-Lula. And what would I be eating if I were enjoying these variety of flavors? Pomegranate cream cheese, icing, gingerbread pickle, anise and gravy. They are new candy cane flavors.
Oh.
Peppermint is passé.
Nobody eats candy canes. They just put them on the
Well, not
tree.
Now.
If not in a gravy
can. You have a gravy can.
Yeah.
All right. Well, the Macy's Day Parade started in 1924, and the very first Broadway number that they had was from a 1980 revival of The Pirates of Penzance,
which I
thought was interesting. If you wanted to go out shopping for Hanukkah candles, you would need 44 of them to cover all 8 nights of Hanukkah.
Mm.
And the NFL game. Total minutes for one season, on average, 11 minutes of action.
Really?
That's all you
11?
Get. 11 minutes of action.
Baseball is more than that,
it is.
I think.
I think baseball is
17.
And they 17.
Always say baseball slower.
Yeah. People don't know.
Got to remember that.
Yeah, baseball is more action, yes. Yeah.
I got more than 11 minutes of action in high school.
Oh, no, you did.
So the United States was the last country to win the Nobel Peace Prize 2 years in a row. The recipients were, in 1985, it was Physicians for the Prevention of Nuclear War. And in 1986, it was Elie Wiesel.
Nice.
So, there you go. And the three states where you cannot shop on Thanksgiving, we said Maine, we said Massachusetts, and Rhode Island was the other one. So if we do not get your call, we do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Our panel tonight was author, well-known Bay Area author, Jerry Nachman, from Diablo Valley College, teacher Lori Fisher. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Our thanks to Eric Wayne for handling the board and the phones. And above all, our thanks to you for taking the time to tune in and call in. We hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving or enjoying your Hanukkah. So please join us again next Sunday at 7 p.m. Thanks a lot, everybody. Bye-bye.